from KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas, brought to you by the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, your 2012 concealed handgun license headquarters. Jeff, Jason, Gary, and Madi in studio today, so holster your guns, folks, and pick up your phones. Call in now at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's talk guns. Let's talk CHLs. Let's talk ammo and all things that go bang. And as usual, our social media butterfly, Gary, will be manning Guns Over Texas Radio Facebook, GunsOverTexasRadio.com, and Guns Over Texas Twitter, and Guns Over Texas on Texas Gun Talk.
Nobody talks to us over there anymore.
Well,
I think we pissed them off.
We've been known to do that to folks once in a while, you know? Unfortunately, it's a side effect to
you running your mouth.
I think they still love us. I mean, we haven't had any hate coming over. We just don't have a whole lot of chat. But, hey, we still love them.
Okay.
What the heck?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
we certainly love the guys that started it. You know, Alan LaFrance and Travis Brown, those guys are squared away.
And we actually, aside from the few haters that we got a few weeks ago, I got a lot more PM supporting us than the
public. We're giving them a hard time, but the reality is,
I got a lot of good support over there on the back end, so it was good.
All right, and speaking of
back end,
uh-oh, we're getting started early.
They're hovering over the dump button in the other room.
Getting started early.
A couple of seconds in.
Has anybody ever read Recoil magazine?
No.
I just bought it a couple of days ago.
Okay, it's a new gun publication, and it's a really fine looking magazine. The layout, the photography, the writing has been really good up until recently.
Now.
Yeah, up until this point. And let's just say, I bet there's an editor in chief who's about to be out of a job. Mm. So Recoil magazine. It's something you would definitely pick up if you were at the grocery store. You know, it's just a good-looking
mag. If you're
a
gun guy.
That's right. Even if you're not a gun guy, because it's top-notch gun porn. You know, it looks really nice. And then you open it up, and, you know, there's some great articles. It's good mag. Now, they recently were doing a review of the MP7A1, H&K's MP7A1. And the editor-in-chief, Jerry Tsai, said the following. Like we mentioned before, the MP7A1 is unavailable to civilians, and for good reason. We all know that's technology that no civilian should ever get to lay their hands on. This is a purpose-built weapon with no sporting implications to speak of.
Applications
to speak of. Now, I reread the Constitution before coming into the studio today, and I can't find anywhere where it says sporting purpose. It's just not there.
Well, which Constitution did you read, Jeff?
The United States. Now, the Second Amendment is not about sport shooting. It's not about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Those just happen to be things that go hand in hand with it. Mm-hmm. Now, for Jerry Tsai, the editor at Recoil magazine, to say, you know, no sporting applications, so no civilian should get their hands on it, is, in my opinion, quite pompous.
Just a bit.
And they have already started losing advertisers, as Silencer Co. has pulled their advertising dollars. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading today that other manufacturers are closing ranks to go ahead and pull advertising
as
well.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. As in the firearms industry, we have no room for any jerkwad like this who thinks that sporting applications are the only reason for which we should be able to have
guns.
Well,
you know, it sounds like he Zumboed himself. If you guys remember Jim Zumbo some years ago, you know, did the same thing. He bashed the AR-15 and said the same kind of BS, which was, you know, No one should. It doesn't have a sporting application. It's never been about duck hunting.
It never has been, but there's about 300 dead pigs that would argue about its hunting abilities.
Well, yes, but that was something we did for fun. But mm-hmm. it's also something that we do to keep our skills up mm-hmm. so that we know how to shoot. And, not that I have a practical reason to shoot out of a helicopter, but I like knowing how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to know is this going to stop people from buying this magazine? I certainly hope it does.
I would hope it does.
Give us a call. Let me know if you are not going to buy Recoil magazine now because of their editor-in-chief. 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738.
Now, somebody out there had to play devil's advocate and has to be the bad guy, so I'm sure I'll get some hate mail before the end of the week on this. But let's just assume...
I know where his paycheck is coming from.
That's Uncle Sugar.
No. This is just me being the bad guy, so please keep the hate mail down because someone has to take the
I know. Concept. We will let you play devil's advocate.
Devil's advocate.
Because we know you.
He's saying that there's no application and civvies shouldn't get their hands on it, but the way I'm seeing this thing is under the import regulations right now, there's no way this thing was coming to the U.S. to begin with. And why Recoil Magazine chose to do a big article on this gun, which is pretty much vaporware, it's never going to be available to civilians because it doesn't meet the import requirements to begin with. Mm-hmm. It was a moot point. He could do the greatest review on it, and no matter what he said or how great it was, it's never going to get in civilian hands anyway because it doesn't meet the ATF requirements.
Hey, Jason, I was reading through the magazine, and he actually prefaced the magazine saying that they do other articles on things that normally civilians and everybody else can get their hands on, and this edition was going to be on the stuff that nobody can get their hands on. But even then, I still disagree. It doesn't matter what kind of gun it is. I mean, it's just the principle that it has no sporting application that's really getting
I understand, because there's a lot of guns out there that have no sporting application.
Right.
I mean, if it were up to me, there'd be no tourist judge just because I...
But there would be a jury.
Yes, there would. And basically, the practicality of guns is irrelevant, because there's a lot of impractical piece of junk. Davis, Ravens, judges,
Derringers.
There's a lot of horrible crap out there, and I don't like it, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be allowed to buy it or own it. It just means, in my personal opinion, it's a piece of junk. But you should be able to buy whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It's your dollars. You spend it how you want. I don't like that. We complained about this at the range earlier, the FN57. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't think civilians should be allowed to have it. No, it's armor piercing and blah, blah, blah. It's a worthless cartridge. Its terminal ballistics on people have proven time and time again to be wanting significantly.
And every agency that has adopted it is unadopted.
Yes, every agency that has adopted it. Well, there's a few that have held on, but all the big names, Capitol Police, mm-hmm. Federal Protective Service, there's a couple of other big name federal mm-hmm. agencies that had it, and they kept it for about 8 or 9 years. And after they had a few bad guys shot with it, they said, wow, this thing sucks.
Blows.
And they got rid of it.
Well, another drawback to the FN57, a friend of ours had his 5.7 in his holster and was walking by a gun cabinet, and his holster smacked the side of this glass cabinet, and the gun literally broke into pieces.
That's not good.
Wow.
I mean, not that you would have occasion
to do this,
but... I'd
want to see pictures of that, because
it was weak.
You know this guy?
Yeah.
And you've seen this.
Well,
yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Having seen one hit the ground and break apart, but mm-hmm. it wasn't like it shattered, but frame and slide separated, and I would not have expected that to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened to that gun before that. They might have helped all that kind of thing along, because like I mentioned last week, we had a guy that kind of went away for a while. When he came back, he told us that he dropped his Glock 21 and it went off. Mm-hmm. But he diddled with it.
Did some gun plumbing. Which this friend of mine is known to do a little gun plumbing himself on occasion.
Yeah. So it's possible that had an impact. What bothers me about Cy's statement over at Recoil is he tried to clean it up, and posted the statement.
The long, in its drawn entirety. Out.
Yeah. But it still very clearly says, he goes, it's technologies no civvies should ever lay their hands on. This is a purpose-built weapon with no sporting applications to speak of. That's pretty clear.
It's the H&K's proprietary version of a personal defensive weapon, just like the 5.7 is.
You're right.
Ballistically speaking, I know it's a different size round, but ballistically speaking, it's the equivalent round. It's their version of a small, wannabe impotent rifle cartridge that will do nothing better for you. I mean, it'll punch through body armor, but ballistically on a person, it's a pretty worthless ice pick.
I don't disagree with that, but my problem is to say that he said no civvy should get their hands.
Does that mean that nobody should have a 5.7, according to him?
Exactly.
You know, because it's
ballistically, it's
the same thing.
Or to go further and say that nobody should have an AR-15.
I was just about to say the same thing. You know? The only thing is that it's select fire and
I understand that. You know, and
I was never a fan of the fact that basically machine guns got banned back in 86. And of course, that was just because I was too young to take advantage of it. But, you know, I still don't get that. I mean, right now, the whole reason that ban stays in place is because there are guys who now have an investment in it. I mean, it's a little known thing that you know, if you own machine guns, that's one of those things that it does better than just about any financial tool you can think of, better than stocks. It does better than bonds. It does better than munis. It does better than CDs because they all go up 10 to 25% annually.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's,
and there's a finite
market
supply that will never, supply. Ever, ever
exactly.
get any bigger.
So
and it can only get
going,
smaller as they wear out.
And so those guys are going, no. Keep that ban in place. Because if you drop $300,000 on a minigun from the movie Predator, you want to protect
jealous?
Your investment. I'm not jealous at all. I mean, I wish I had the cash.
Well, I personally would like to see Jerry Tsai lose his job, so I know that I'm going to be sending emails to Recoil Magazine.
And, oh, by the way, we'd be more than happy to have any of those advertisers come to work with us.
That's, you know, we should drop Silencer Co. a line.
I think
and let
you
them
should
know
do
that.
You have that capability.
They have a great product, and they would be a great fit for Guns Over Texas. So if anybody out there is a rep for Silencer Co.,
and wants to send
to
a few silencers over to test out?
That's right. We'll be more than happy to put them through the ringer for you.
Well, you know, you can bring them out, and we'll test them with you in your presence. That way you won't have to go through all the transfers and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. we're all about doing things as easy as possible.
Yes.
So what do you think, Houston? Give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. We're talking guns, gear, gun magazine editors who need to lose their jobs.
Ex-wives.
Well, all right, I'm just going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave that one alone. We were going to get into the ex-wives thing, but we're going to leave that one alone since none of us in the room have
none of
one
us
of
have
those.
That problem.
No.
Just our poor friend does.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stupidity, did anybody read the article about the deaf kid in California who signs, his name is Hunter.
Right. And so in signing the letter H in his name, it appears to look like a gun and therefore, according to the school administrators, violates school policy against guns.
Oh, hold the phone. I just realized it's not even in California.
No, it's Nebraska.
This is in Nebraska.
Yes.
What? Middle America has been infiltrated.
By a bunch of lefty, no-good-for-nothing sissies.
Wow. They claimed his sign it violates the Weapons in Schools Board Policy 8470. It forbids any instrument that looks like a weapon. So his tiny little three-year-old boy hands, they're considering lethal weapons.
Yes.
All right. Let's send emails
to
this.
It just bugs me, the whole idea of saying that because he has to use sign language, and, well, this letter happens to look like how many kids need to change their names now because their names begins with the letter H? You know, that's just dumb.
Well, what other we're not going to have any letters that have the letter H in it. He can't say any words that have
exactly.
V is going to be hard
Henry,
to get through.
Hunter, you know, Harley, you name it.
He can't
none
say he's ready to go home.
Right.
Oh hell. The H's just keep flowing.
I mean, how in the world is this kid supposed to survive in this place?
This is one of the stupidest things I've heard in a long time. So it's the
and you work at a gun
range. Yeah, but that is liberal think for you.
It is.
There's no two ways about it.
This is Grand Islands, Nebraska.
No, you're right. It's not thinking. Well, no, you know, the
sad part is a bunch of idiots got together and they put themselves in a room and they decided that this had to be stopped.
Right.
Each and every one of those people deserves to be dragged out back and beat the heck out of. They need a little bit of sense beaten into them.
Actually, I don't think that'll work.
It's the only thing that possibly can. It's their only hope.
No, because it has been proven over and over again. You cannot fix stupid.
The zero tolerance thing, and I understand when they bring it in, it sounds great
in
legislation.
You can't fix stupid, but you can take it out back and beat the heck out of it.
Oh, well, yes.
But this goes back to, like, we're gonna throw a kid out of school and ban him for life because he had Tylenol at school. That's a drug. It's zero tolerance against drugs.
Well, that's always been my issue with zero tolerance, the very concept of it. And
zero tolerance for violence means if I make a finger that's shaped like a gun, it's somehow a gun?
Yes.
And why is it the people that preach tolerance are the most intolerant people out there?
You know, it's a weird thing, but that is always the case. And, you know, they are the first ones to say we need to have a zero tolerance policy about bullying or whatever. And then when it comes to something like that, the kid who gets bullied, if he does anything to defend himself, he's the first one to get thrown out of school and charges filed against him. And it therefore traumatizes him because it's like, okay, I don't have anywhere to seek help. You know, if I defend myself, I'm in trouble. If my parents say anything, I get beat up even worse. And if the school administrators do anything, I'm really hosed.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's been, you know, no wonder kids twist off and go shoot up the school.
Well, seems like we're focused on stupid people today. So
I don't know. I'm still having a hard time dealing with the fact y'all made fun of my man bag and my purple sock holster. And my wife's going to come up here and give you a piece of her mind about how y'all shouldn't make fun of me.
Don't start me with you and socks, dude. Because what did you have the Bread of 92 wrapped up in today? A sock.
An old.
You and socks.
An old greasy sock.
An old greasy sock.
And last week you did not call it a man bag. You called it a tote.
A merce.
Which by calling it a tote,
which pretty that much was, that yanked was, your man
you had a purse.
Right there.
It was a purse.
That's it. My wife's coming up here going to tell you all to stop picking on me because that'll make it better.
Look, as long as she brings cookies, she's welcome to come
she
up.
She sent cookies last week. See?
And I said again, as long as she brings cookies, she can come up here.
I think she needs to bring bacon.
Ooh, I need to
bacon wrapped cookie.
You know what would be even better? The bacon from the pig that I killed and skinned out in a hot, heavy field and drove back to Houston.
Yes.
Just for Jeff to cook for everybody. And
I'm just waiting on y'all.
I'm going to get my bacon off that pig we killed as soon as I get my shield that I'm never going to get.
Another 400 or 500 hogs before you ever cook that thing.
I'm waiting on Pete and Kingwood or Mad Dog out in Magnolia.
Do it yourself.
I don't even
listen to us anymore because
I don't
of
even
you.
Know where to begin to you know
it begins
get that
with
meat
fire.
Ready.
Okay.
I tell you what, you know what? A good friend of mine was on MasterChef, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to him and we're going to see if we can put that together.
We'll bring him out.
So
have him do that.
And you know what? He'd probably sign up to be on the next helicopter hunt.
Okay. Well, let's have at it.
All right.
Maybe he'll advance in MasterChef a little bit further next time if he, you know, gets his pork skills down.
Well, you know, what did him in was that whole coffee-filled beignet. It's very sad because he perfected it. And yet when he tried it on the show, it just did not go well.
Gun Talk has digressed a little bit here. It's like the coffee-filled beignets. Please call in, Houston.
Don't knock until you try it.
And Gary, you can bend over and pick up your cool points. You just lost them all by talking beignets.
Yeah.
All right. So what's new in your gun world this week, Gary? Anything new for you?
Not a whole lot new, per se. Still doing a lot of work with core basics. I have a ladies-only class coming up on the 29th. I'll get pricing data right now. I think it's $150 per student. But it may end up being lower than that. We'll be doing a ladies-only class on September 29th starting at 9 a.m. So we'll be
And where's that going to be at?
At the Impact Zone.
And what level of ladies-only class? Because my wife
This is everything from this is a gun to, you know, the very core skills of operating the gun comfortably.
See, I've been going through this with you know, the wonderful Mrs. Berry recently, and her deal is she's been to a couple of ladies-only classes, and she has lamented the fact that a lot of the ladies-only training is, this is a gun, these are bullets, the pointy end goes towards the bad guy, and it's an eight-hour class, but 6 hours of it is spent in the classroom never touching the gun.
No.
So she feels she's passed that part, but she's not high speed enough to want to go to IDPA or something. She needs something a little bit in the middle.
We will get her. I think that the curriculum that we have, she's going to get to a point that she would be ready to go to IDP after she left us.
So there's going to be some holster time?
Oh, there's going to be nothing. We start out on the range.
Okay, we don't do anything from the table, which is what she's used to shooting. She shoots from the
table.
There'll
be a couple minutes on the table just to introduce everybody and for all the ladies to get comfortable with each other. And since I'm probably going to be the only guy there, so that they can get all happy and say I'm a big teddy bear and move on. And so from there, we will get to the range very quickly.
Okay.
So, you know, and our good friend Gina will be leading the class.
You know? Even better.
You missed the opportunity to meet Gina, Jeff, but...
I'll live.
she'll be there.
Now, you've got that class coming up. Yes. And then another good option, Jason, for Mrs. Berry would be the John Farnham class that's coming up October 13th and 14th in Victoria. And as a matter of fact, John's going to join us later on in the show. He's going to call back in. But that would be a great class for her to attend. It's a Saturday-Sunday class. You start shooting, you're on the range at 7 a.m. Saturday morning, and we generally get off the range at about 11 o'clock at night.
Woo!
And so it is a long, day.
That is a long day.
And then you're back on the range 7 o'clock the next morning, and you stay till about 5:30.
And I'm going to miss it because it's my anniversary.
Oh, man, priorities, Gary, priorities.
What better way to show her you love her than to take her out shooting with you?
Yeah.
For a 12-hour day in the sun.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
He might be a moving target if he did that. But there's
I got away with buying the truck, dude. Let's not push my luck.
At the Farnham classes, there is two sides. You have the advanced side, which John and some other instructors like myself take. And then you have the beginner to intermediate side, which his wife, Vicky, handles. And that's where, Mrs. Berry would definitely feel comfortable there. And the women tend to really gravitate to Vicky. She is awesome. And out of all the classes I've attended, passing her class on teaching women to shoot is I'm most proud of that, because Vicky has this alter ego named Mabel, and Mabel is the biggest idiot you'll ever meet. And you have to deal with Mabel and make sure that she's comfortable the whole time and learning how to shoot properly. And so, needless to say, it was the toughest class I've ever had to pass. And so I'm most proud of that. But Mabel was threatened by a couple of the other students, and that didn't end up very well for them. So Vicky is a hell of a woman, but she can also she can bust them like nobody. I think she's a bit more intimidating than John sometimes. So
she would have to be
living with them, of course. So that's definitely something. And in this class, it's October 13th and 14th. It's in Victoria, Texas. It's you bring 1,000 rounds of pistol, and you bring 300-400 rounds of rifle. It's a defensive pistol urban rifle class. And we'll talk about that more with John when he calls in the second hour. So do you think that's something you'd be able to get Mrs. Berry to attend?
The rifle kind of throws it. I think she's picked up my rifle to say, why is this thing in the living room? And you leave it on the coffee table. There's stains of oil and stuff. So I don't know if that would be a starter, but definitely what Gary's got going on, something that she wouldn't have to be out for a 14-hour day, that I could ease her into it. This is a marathon, not a sprint. I keep trying to slowly get her into this.
The beginner to intermediate side, they have the option of using the rifle. They don't have to use the rifle. If you're on the advanced side, you are going to use the rifle. Yeah. That's just all there is to it. And if you don't use the rifle, there's something wrong with you.
We should be fighting with a rifle anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the class that we're going to do is really going to be 4 to 5 hours. So we'll be done by shortly after lunchtime. And what we find is that for the vast majority of ladies, for their first time coming out, spending 8 to 12 hours on the range might be a bit much, especially in a facility like the Impact Zone. So
it's
what'll
hot.
Happen is, by the 29th, it'll actually be a very cool
but
day.
But porta potties are not exactly woman friendly.
Exactly. So we will get out, the ladies will come out, they will shoot, and then we're probably going to be headed to, the Thirsty Parrot shortly thereafter. and we'll still have, drink and merriment and have discussions about what we've covered in class and answer their questions and go from there. But we have yet to have anyone come away from that class and say they didn't learn something, that they didn't have a good time. And it's been a good experience every time we've done it.
Jason Berry, what is new in your gun world this week?
Not a whole lot. I actually went online in anticipation of the great Obama gun sales drive that's sure to be coming up in the next
Dude, in the that's next been couple a of months. Sustained drive.
I understand completely, but you know, PSA, Palmetto State Armory, for those of you out there who don't know that one, occasionally they have their deal of the day, and sometimes it's worthless, and sometimes you're like, ooh, I think I should get a couple of those. So I got a couple more lower receivers coming in, you know, just in anticipation of, are they going to throw more band talk? Because sure enough, Feinstein has already
oh,
said,
yeah,
Feinstein
already done,
has already said, yes, we're going to reintroduce the assault weapon ban. And the only problem I have with that, you know, this is one of those horrible things you say, well, heck, I'm a cop. I can get whatever I want. I don't care. But the rest of the country, I feel bad because I don't want all of them to get caught up in this BS, worthless bit
well,
of legislation.
Well, if there's no sporting applications, why would you want to use
well,
it?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know,
well, that's why I'm buying a couple of spare lowers, just because I know I won't always be in law enforcement. And if somebody does, God forbid, pass more legislation, I'd like to have the ability to build a couple more rifles for maybe my kids or grandkids in the future. Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually saw a ray of hope in, of all things, the Houston Chronicle, last night. There was an article that actually mentioned how there seems to be now a benefit to the armed populace. Now, it attempted to be balanced, and you could tell it was still, you know, a liberal bent.
from the Chronicle?
No. I kid you not. But it really did.
Somebody's getting fired, you know, at Hearst Publications.
You know, yeah, I don't think this guy's going to have a job much longer, because he even mentioned our friend at the trailer park. And
really?
How he is the reason that the police had time to get there and turn that guy off. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, the fact that the Chronicle would even mention that is impressive. So mm-hmm. there is hope. It's taken a while. You know, and they even went, okay, this is no longer a question of whether or not civilians or that the average citizen, indeed, has a right to own a gun. That question has been resolved. Now it's a question of just what is reasonable regulation. The fact that they've devolved to that as opposed to, no, you can't have guns, is impressive, at least to me. Because, like I said, the Chronicle would not have published any such article just 4 years ago.
Now, part of that Feinstein reintroducing the assault weapons ban, isn't there something in there about no semi-auto handguns, revolvers only?
I don't know if that's in there. The 10-round magazine for rifle, the 10-round limit's still going to be in there. But the scary part is there would be no sunset
right
on it. Now, the only way it got passed the first time and got through the Republicans
sunset.
Was, yeah, we'll let you have your fun for a little while, but you're going to see it doesn't make any difference. And sure enough, 10 years later,
it didn't
make a difference. And then they repealed it. And guess what? The streets haven't flown with blood since it was repealed. So why the need to reintroduce it? Because you have one yo-yo who wanted to see Batman and bring his gun with him? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you've still got a better chance of getting struck by lightning. You've got a better chance of winning the lottery. You've got a better chance of getting eaten by a shark than you do of dying in a mass shooting.
Unless you're in Chicago.
That's not a mass shooting.
That's
crook on crook shooting it up.
Right.
But in the grand scheme of things, these great, oh, someone's going to take an assault rifle, a machine gun or something, and go shoot up the place is pretty rare. You occasionally have the lone nut that goes off, you know, but typically is with a handgun,
right?
Not with a rifle,
right?
You know, so I don't know. It's just scary to think that if Obama wins again, that this might actually come up on the floor and it might actually be debated, and all it's going to do is drive gun prices and gun sales through the roof. Mm-hmm. So you might as well grab it now before the price starts to go up.
Yep,
and you can never have too many.
And the prices on ammo are only going to be going up.
Yeah.
So, and that's straight from the manufacturer, not from the distributor.
Yeah.
So buy your ammo, buy it now. And I've been telling people, if you're at Walmart and you see a stack of 9mm, just buy it.
Man.
It's you're going to need it.
Right.
It's going to be hard to get.
Yeah.
Because I think the shortage we saw in 08 and 09 is
coming again.
And I think it's going to be even worse. You know, we have, gosh, what is it, like 10,000 baby boomers a day turn 65 years old.
Right.
And that's when they say, you know what? I'm not going to fight anymore. I'll shoot you, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you see your ammo.
And sometimes, even when they're Democrats, they do that.
Yeah. And I found that a lot of the people who are Democrats and have that Obama-Biden bumper sticker on their car, when they walk into the range, they just kind of sneak in,
right.
You know, look
right.
around, and they're real quiet about it. But, you know, even those folks, mm-hmm. they have guns, too.
Yep. So. A lot of them do.
Now, speaking of stupidity, we were talking about the stupid people in Nebraska. I knew there was something stupid in California. I thought it was
yeah.
California. Yeah. There's an ammo company called Ammo Depot. and they have sponsored their local high school football team for years.
Okay.
And part of that sponsorship is they have a sign, M.O. Depot. It's about, it looks to be about 4x4.
M.O.Depot.com?
That's all it is. Now, that's on the football stadium scoreboard.
Okay.
It's no longer there.
No.
Because that is considered inappropriate.
Surprise, surprise.
So they could have Playboy.com, but they can't have M.O.Depot.com?
No M.O. Depot. Now, these guys went to the school. They support the football programs. You know, they do all kinds of stuff.
They need to stop. You know what? Here's the thing. I think that any company that does business in California deserves to go out of business. I mean, you should leave. There's the state does not, especially
there's
if you're
some good companies in California.
Name
I'm
one.
Sure. Cisco Systems, Microsoft.
Again, name one.
All right. Well, you've got all of Silicon Valley down there. I'm sure they're producing
again, name
something
one.
You like down there.
No, not really.
Okay, well, I don't. California is not my favorite place, but I'm sure someone
it is a
somewhere in California
place
does something
that is wasted
decent.
On hippies.
True, and they've occasionally made a good movie or two for us. You
really?
Never know. They've made a good movie or two.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Heat, Goodfellas, The Departed. Yeah, Hollywood can occasionally make a good movie. It's just not often. And the trailer is out, guys.
Dawn?
Red Dawn.
Finally out.
And unfortunately, I saw the trailer, and I was waiting to jump all over it and bash it and just destroy it. And I watched it and said, I might have to go see this. And I felt a little torn up inside because part of me knows that Hollywood is going to ruin it. There's absolutely no way they can make it good. But I watched the trailer and said, the 15-year-old in me is
in the
back of my mind saying, I remember this.
Did the trailer make you stand up on your couch and scream, Wolverine?
I had to go get the AK out of the closet first. But then.
All right. Let's go out to the phone lines. We've got an issue with our call screen here. I can't
have
see anything.
Have you hit the refresh button by chance?
I have a number of times, and it still hadn't done anything.
I was
anything.
Wondering how we'd gone 40 minutes without a single phone call, and now I see all the lights flashing on the phone, and we don't have anything on the screen showing calls.
So, this is a grab bag.
Nope.
What's
going to
happen? Line one. I don't know who you are.
Campbell.
It's Campbell? Okay.
Campbell, what can we do for you? Fire away.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing, Campbell?
I'm doing great. Hey, I am thinking about buying my first shotgun here, started dove season, been invited out a few times and shooting before and always borrowed friends' guns, but I am a left-handed shooter since I'm left-eye dominant.
Sorry to
wanted
that.
To see wanted to see if you guys had any recommendations for manufacturers that I should look at that maybe have a better selection.
Remington actually has produced left-handed models of things of like the 870 and the 1100, so those are available for you. The reality is you actually could still shoot a right-handed shotgun.
We have left-handed officers that there's only one model of Remington 870 out there, and they've managed to go for 50 years shooting it without really having too much trouble.
Right. So I guess maybe that's my second question then, is if that's something that I shouldn't worry about at all.
Have you been borrowing your friends' guns all the time?
That's right.
And so they're shooting right-handed guns. Have you ever been smacked in the face with rounds?
No.
There you go.
It just makes me a little nervous. Flying over my right elbow, but you know, nothing too serious. But I figured if I was going to go out and spend the money, then
it's an empty
plastic
hull, and quite frankly, it's not nearly as hot. The plastic is not nearly as hot as the brass
right.
when
That's
it comes
right.
out of there. So even if it hits you, it's not going to do. You're not going to do the brass dance like you would have with a rifle round coming out.
That's
at you.
Right. And then my other concern has always been, you know, ease of getting to the safety.
Mossberg 500 has got the most user-friendly lefty safety that there is.
Right, because it's mounted on the back of the receiver.
I personally prefer a Remington 870 and would always push you towards the Remington because they have the most accessories, but secondary would be the Mossberg 500 model. Not my favorite, but it is more left-handed friendly.
I'll take a Mossberg. Believe it or not, I'll take a Mossberg over a Winchester.
Yes. You didn't hear me say Winchester, did you?
Yeah. Well,
I said Remington or Mossberg.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I have yet to break a Remington 870. I did break a friend's Mossberg 500. Apparently sheared the action bars out of it, but that's just me. But I have wrecked the receiver of a 1200 and a 1300 Winchester, so I cannot recommend it.
You can wreck the receiver of an 870. I can introduce you to a couple of cops who I'm still trying to figure it out, but yes. If you're ever putting a side saddle on your gun, you know what a side saddle is?
No, I don't.
It's a plastic shell holder that bolts to the side of your receiver on a Remington model. You drive out the pins that hold in the action, and they insert screws instead, and these screws will hold a little plastic holder on the side of your gun that holds six extra rounds. If you tighten them down to the point where you feel them getting tight and you stop, they work great. If you think, wow, I can keep turning and keep turning and keep turning, you can actually compress the receiver of a shotgun enough to where the bolt and everything won't ever move again. Ask me how I know this. As someone brings you their gun and goes, man, it won't work anymore.
You know,
That's not how I wrecked the Winchester.
That's how a couple have been wrecked.
No. Jason, literally got twisted.
Are you telling me that I should have been test firing that my 870 after having you put the side
saddle
on
it? I put the side saddle on yours properly, sir. I've seen enough improperly.
He's a certified armorer type person, so he knows what he's doing.
I know that when you start feeling pressure, you stop turning. You don't go, wow, I can get a 3-foot-long cheater bar and turn that thing again and pinch the steel in half. No, but anyway, I think you'll be very well suited with a Mossberg. I don't know what flavor you want, because I don't know if you want a home defense model or a skeet model or a trap model or what you're looking for, but there's plenty of flavors of Mossberg out there that should do you fine.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Yes, Campbell, we appreciate you calling Guns Over Texas. All right, and we're going to head out to line two. Line two, I don't know who you
are. Josh.
What you got for us?
He's giving you, if you listen to our producer, he tells you.
Well, yeah, we was already talking.
Jeff is just too fast.
Jeff likes talking. Have you noticed that?
Josh,
he likes hearing himself.
Fire away, Josh. What do you have for us?
Hey, guys. I recently got an HK P7.
Cool.
And I love it. But I was wondering, do you guys know anybody who makes a conceal holster for that? Because I got rid of a Kimber Ultra Carry in order to get the P7.
I know that Comptac did at one point in time, but I don't know if it's still in their catalog. But
New Jersey State Police and U.S. Capitol Police used to issue them, so yes. I know that there were holsters made out there.
Yeah,
eBay or the used market might have them, because I know those are two relatively good sized agencies that issued them.
Right,
but it's been a few years since they issued them, so there should be used ones available out there. But it's just the problem is it's not a popular gun. There's not a lot of them out there.
Right,
it's a good gun. I'm not going to diss it at all, but it's just not a prolific gun that there's a lot of holster manufacturing for.
Yeah.
But I bet Comptac or a similar Kydex manufacturer could crank you out something pretty easy.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is, I honestly don't know if it's still in their catalog. It was at one point in time, but they've gone through and kind of cleared out stuff that they aren't producing a whole lot of.
But so it's a guy here in Houston, Tucker Gun Leather.
Yes, actually, called JB over at Tucker Gun Leather. They might also have it, and let me see if I can. I'll get you the number, and I'll post it to our Facebook page.
Hey, Gary, I just looked on Comptac's website, and they still do have the
good deal.
Minotaur for the
P7. At Comptac.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Comptac.com.
And I'm going to highly recommend.
Comptac, that's what I had for my Ultra Carry. I had one from them. So.
Okay, the Kydex is going to be your friend on that, because the P7 has a very short barrel compared to the amount of grip that's sticking out there.
Right.
And so the holster doesn't have a whole lot to grab onto, so you definitely want something Kydex that kind of clicks into place. Otherwise, there's going to be some retention issues with that gun, being that all the weight being up, and there's not a whole lot of barrel to hold on to.
Outstanding. Appreciate it.
Right, you're going to love your gun, man.
Thanks, Josh.
Josh, we appreciate you giving us a call at Guns Over Texas in Houston. If you have questions, comments, want to get involved in the show, give us a call, 281-558-5738. We'll be right back. Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. If you have questions, comments, want to get involved with the show, give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. I ask you to please just bear with us as we try to get this call screen monitor set back up correctly. It's a good thing that there's not a camera.
I'm glad there's not a web camera in here, because that's just disturbing, Marty. I need you to understand that.
Jeff didn't crack or break character, though.
No,
he was totally comfortable with it.
Despite being fondled in a very inappropriate way.
I'm used to it. I work with the guy. What do you
think? You're used to people feeling up your man boobs?
I can't help it.
Liar.
Boob. Sorry.
Can't help it. I had a woman yesterday at the range.
Just stop. Just let's go.
I had a woman yesterday at the range who actually reached. She said, "Ooh, you must be wearing a vest," and reached across and grabbed my pec. And then she goes, "Ooh, no, you're not. Ooh, okay." Wow. All right. Thank you. Make me feel good. All right.
It was a lady
just a
with
a small glimpse into what
it was a lady with an Adam's apple and a size 10 shoe. She could palm a basketball, but hey, it's all right.
Okay.
They're such men.
Are you wearing a vest?
All right. Trying to get on the system here and talk at the same time is not real easy to do.
Well, you had the caps lock on.
Oh, gosh, man. Okay. We're just going to head out to the phone lines. Line one.
I believe this is Paul.
Paul. How you doing today, Paul?
Are you there? Did you hit the wrong button again, Jeff?
I hit the one. Paul. Hello.
I hear something. Is that Paul?
Hello.
No, it's not Paul.
Now you can see why we're not nationally syndicated, guys. You can't even operate a phone line.
It's because we can't trust Jeff with the phone.
Good Lord.
Y'all saw, I just pressed the button. How do I screw that up?
I don't know.
I don't know, but
you
whoever called in, call back in. We'll try to get you on. We're experiencing technical difficulties here.
All right, let's head out to...
we have this guy named
Line
Jeff.
Line two. Welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Yes, this is Jim. Thank you for getting me on.
Yes, sir, Jim.
How Thank you
doing?
For giving us a call. Jim, what do you say today, Jim?
Well, I have a SKS that a fellow wanted to borrow some money on. Mm-hmm. It's almost a year ago, and he has just disappeared. So I got a SKS semi-automatic rifle, and I don't even know what the heck is it worth anything.
Well, how much money did you give in the loan?
$400.
Ooh. Yeah, I think you might have come out on the low end of that deal. Depending on, you'd have to look at it and find out, is it a Russian manufacturer? Is it Chinese manufacturer? There's a lot of different variations of SKS that can affect what the value is. Is there permanently affixed bayonet? Did it not have a bayonet? Is it a shortened paratrooper model? Is it a model that's designed to take AK mags, or is it a fixed 10-round magazine? Or is it set up for detachable 30-round magazines? All those things will affect the value of it. On the low end, you could have gotten an SKS back in the day for $99.
I used to see
them two for $90 at the gun show.
There
was a time when the Chinese were flooding in. Now, the Russians were a little bit more, and since the Clintons back in 94 stopped all the importation of the SKSs, it kind of drove the prices up a little bit. But still, a high-end price on an SKS, a nice one is probably in the 300 range, maybe 350 if it's Russian.
You might still get up to four if it'll take an AK mag.
If it's a specific Russian made, if it has the attached bayonet and some other stuff, it might go to 400.
But, it has the bayonet on it. Yeah.
Okay, it does. All right, it's probably Chinese then. But again, there's different. Is it a spike bayonet? Is it a blade bayonet? All those things again can affect
it. It's like triangular.
Okay, it's a spike bayonet. Okay, I'm gonna have to defer to Gary on actual value of that because I'm not a big SKS man. I do know there's a lot of variations.
Well,
in them.
I'm by no means an expert, but that's on the high end. I know they go to about. I've seen them run at four when they can take an AK magazine, but that's not normal for an SKS.
Yeah, they've been modified if it's that.
Okay, one more question.
Yes,
I received a letter from Texas Law Shield, which I'm a member of.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they talked about silencers and suppressors are now legal.
Legal for hunting in Texas. They are indeed.
Right. Well, they've always been legal to own as long as you filled out your Form 4 and did the proper paperwork and paid your tax stamp. But now it's legal to use them in hunting in addition to just being able to own them.
Right. Do you have to have a special form if you have a silencer or a suppressor?
There's a form that you fill out with the ATF to start the process of buying such a device. And Texas Law Shield, I don't know if they're helping people with setting up trusts. I think they are. So the idea behind doing a trust is normally if you buy these things as an individual and you go through the ATF Form 4 and go through all the process, background checks, fingerprints, and all that kind of good stuff, when you pass on, that item can't just simply be handed down to a family member.
Oh, I see.
Whereas if you set up a family trust and the trust owns it, then it can be passed on to your kids or somebody else.
Well, since I have a concealed license, do I have to go through another background check?
Yeah, it actually is a separate.
Really?
Yes.
Well, your concealed carry permit is issued by the state of Texas. The ATF tax stamp is going to be a federal deal. It's a little bit different.
Well, I'll be darned. Okay, fellas, yeah. Thanks for the information.
Of course, Uncle Sam has to take his pound of flesh and $200.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that right
well,
now...
I don't need a suppressor.
Yeah,
you know what
say.
You probably don't need? You probably don't need that SKS or the bayonet, and I'll tell you right now, I'll meet you in the parking lot after the show, I'll give you $100 cash for it, and we'll call it good.
Oh, no, as long as it'll still shoot, I'll keep it.
$150. Hell of a deal.
Okay, thank you, fellas.
Yes,
no
sir.
Problem. Thank you.
Appreciate you listening, Jim, and we appreciate you calling Guns Over Texas.
You know, back in the day in the 90s when I was a poor college student eating ramen noodle and you know, barely getting by, and I'd go to the gun show and you'd see, hey, $99 for an SKS, or if you buy two, they're $90 a piece. And it's like, man, I can't afford this. And then I thought, well, who would want this junk Chinese stuff anyway? And as an adult, I was like, why didn't I buy armloads of
those
damn things?
Yeah, there's a bunch
of
people thinking that about Apple stock right now, too.
Yeah. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, yeah, back in the day, you'd just see some really nice ones with the bayonets and all cleaned up and never fired, packed in the grease, coming out of Chinese-marked wooden cases there at the back of the gun show. Take them off my hands, boys. $90 a piece. Get them out of here.
Darn.
Good God, did I walk away from some good deals back in the day.
You know, it's actually cheaper to get a license to get dynamite than it is to get a tax stamp for a suppressor.
Mm-hmm. I could use some dynamite.
We could have some fun with some dynamite, a helicopter, and a lot of eggs.
We don't even need that. There's these neat things called binary explosives that you can even buy through the mail.
Well, see, y'all are going to get me wound up on Sons of Guns and American Gun. Then. Apparently, if you're just a regular civilian who watches these shows, you would think that any particular item shot by a 22 or a 9mm or anything
would go kablooey.
Explodes in a huge fireball. You can shoot a watermelon with a 22, and it'll put up a fireball 20 feet in the air. Because I saw it on Sons of Guns.
Now, Marty, you got to do some pretty cool testing last night. And I didn't even get to ask you about it today, but I saw the results.
We keep using him as a test dummy for so many things.
Well, that's what he's good for.
Well, sometimes without the test, just for a dummy. But
we had a customer come in, and he wanted to test out some ballistic glass that he was putting in his check cashing shop. And
he just happened to have ballistic glass.
He brought a sheet.
You know,
of it.
I listened to this story today. Go on.
No, I wasn't there. So, Marty, why don't you regale us with what happened?
Okay. Well, me and Thomas, we cleaned up the range and we got everything set up. We placed the glass against a barrel, you know, just so we're not shooting it against the trap. And the first shot out was a 9mm full metal jacket from 25 yards away. And it stuck. You know, I mean, it stayed right in there. I was pleasantly surprised. And then we shot it with a 40 caliber full metal jacket, you know, same distance and everything else being equal. And the 40 caliber actually ricocheted off. It didn't even get stuck in there. And,
now, just to make sure people know what we're talking about a piece of polycarbonate, multiple layered polycarbonate glass or a window that this guy was putting up in his check cashing place. Mm-hmm. So it's like bullet. It would be what we would ostensibly call bulletproof glass, but it's not glass. It's plastic.
Right. And it was about a half inch thick, and we just kept shooting it. You know, we tried different hollow points. We tried bonded hollow points. We tried, you know, just jacketed hollow points and things like that. And it was actually, you know, after about 20 rounds, it didn't look any worse for the wear. You know, we could have kept shooting it in the same spot, and it didn't seem like anything was going to happen.
Now,
did
this is where it gets funny.
Rounds?
No, because my AK is actually getting some work done. I really wish I would have had it because I have steel core AK ammunition
and
for 5.45.
You have my phone number and you didn't call. Why?
No. We need to cover the funny part because what Thomas told me was, and actually both of you knuckleheads told me, was that you wanted to stand behind this while shooting at it so you could see what it looked like.
Oh my God.
In keeping with our stupid theme of the day.
You didn't. I was there all day and you didn't tell me that today.
We were not going to do it. It'd just be like, hey, this is actually working. I could probably stand behind this.
You could have convinced.
Sure.
So be safe. You could have convinced somebody else that worked there to do it.
Oh, no.
You know who I'm talking about.
This is not just any break. This is our 6.5 minute break as we prepare for hour number two of Guns Over Texas. So hold on, Houston. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas.
From KSEV, the voice of Texas. This is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to hour number two of Guns Over Texas. And now we are watching our mouth a little bit more than normal as we are joined
in
studio.
You guys never watch your mouth.
We're joined in studio with Charlene from the Houston Police Foundation. And Charlene is going to talk to us about some events that they've got going on to benefit HPD officers. So, Charlene, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm sure a lot of you don't even know about the Houston Police Foundation. We were formed back in 2005 by some local businessmen that wanted to be able to help out our police officers. As most of you know, our men and women of the Houston Police Department perform a very valuable service to our community, and they deserve the best equipment and training and technology that money can buy. Due to the city budget, there's not a lot of money left over to buy the latest technology that they need and some of the equipment that they need, so that's where the foundation comes in. We have raised and funded over $2 million worth of equipment since 2005. So we're always looking for ways to raise more money and help these guys out. So we have a great event that's going to take place on October the 27th. We received word from the Texas Department of Jailbreak Inmate Recovery Task Force that there's an impending jailbreak that is scheduled to take place in downtown Houston on Saturday, October the 27th. And I'm sure most of y'all have all heard that Al Gore invented the internet, and the entire world now is including prisoners, are using that to communicate and plot their escape. There is a website that you can go to. It's called www.runthejailbreak.com, where inmates are able to purchase their escape for as little as $60. Fortunately, HPD's IT team has hacked into this website, and they've learned the location of this planned escape. They plan to break free at Tony Marano Park and travel a course along the Buffalo Bayou. Never before has such a jailbreak occurred in downtown Houston. HPD, of course, is prepared. We've heard about the elaborate scheme to apprehend these escapees. They will be placing roadblocks and obstacles along their way to slow their progress. We are positive that HPD will apprehend the escapees before they cross that 2.5-mile run. They may get a little muddy along the way, but the Houston Fire Department will be on hand to hose them down before their return to the Bush Silver Eagle Beer Garden. There they will be entertained with live music, Texas barbecue, before their return to their prison cell.
So everybody gets a nice, tasty beverage and some barbecue after the attempted jailbreak.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Sounds like a good time.
You know, there's always, we're along the bayou, so it's kind of woody in some of those areas, and there's word that some of our bicycle patrol is going to be out there, and if they find some of these escapees that are kind of loitering around, they will be chasing them.
Now, the jailbreak, I've done a lot of the mud runs, and I'm a big fan. I think it's a blast. And the jailbreak, this is going to get dirty, right?
Absolutely. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, unfortunately, I think that Jeff and Monty are the only two of the four of us in here that are anywhere near in a shape other than round.
You know, you'd be surprised. They have all walks of life come out to run this. It's weekend warriors that are on the couch all week, and they decide to come out. They come out in costumes. We have a gentleman, the group that we teamed up with is the Jailbreak Racing Events out of Dallas, and they've done this run in Dallas, Austin, South Padre. And they have a guy that started out with them 3 years ago weighing over 450 pounds. Today he's down less than 250 pounds.
Wow.
Just from participating in this jailbreak.
Golly.
Wow.
Well, like I said, I've done a few of these. I haven't done the jailbreak yet, but the jailbreak has definitely been on my list of runs to do. And there have been all people from all walks of life. Not necessarily everybody there has the successful lifestyle body. You know? So
yes.
It's you got to come out and do it. Just it's a good time, especially once you get into the mud pits and start sliding around. And yeah, it's
just like sliding around in mud.
I'm a pig. What can I say?
Okay, as long as you can admit that.
You know, our first wave is going to take off at 8:30 that morning, and it's going to be our police officers versus the fire department. And whoever wins is going to take home the traveling trophy. So we're really excited about that because...
How has that gone in the past?
This is the first year.
First inaugural. Year. Okay.
Yes, this is the inaugural. So each department is really excited about this and feels like they are going to be the winner. So we invite everybody to come out and see who that's going to be.
Now, do you
in essence, this is a 5K run, but it's 5K through mud pits and over blocks mm-hmm. and over, you know, under barbed wire.
And getting chased
by
police.
Mounted patrol.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
So if you ever wanted to feel like what it would be like to escape
to break
from
out
jail,
of jail,
this is it.
With the exception of the tasering and the dog biting you.
There's also rumors that there's going to be some landmines going off. You know, you never know what that police department will do.
Now, I tell you what, would you be able to pull any strings and get some Guns Over Texas guys running with the police department?
I bet I could. Mm. You know, but you're going to have to keep up, you know. And if you're going to run with HPD.
Oh, no, Charlene, they're going to follow me.
Oh,
okay.
Now, being a law enforcement professional, I have to point out that they issue me a vehicle for things such as this.
Only the kids fresh out of the academy are saying, go run, rookie.
You know, this route follows Buffalo Bayou. It's right there on the east side of town, and there are some woods, and there's some railroad tracks. Mm-hmm.
This is going through the Memorial Park area?
No. Or Tony Marano Park,
okay.
Which is over off of Navigation.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So on the
so
on the
even
east
if the cops
downtown.
Aren't chasing you, there might be the locals shooting at you.
Yes, there could be.
You don't want to get separated from the group off Navigation, no.
I'm sure Daryl's going to have something to say about this.
Hey, dude, I used to live over there. I'll vouch for that one.
Well, you know, the foundation buys a lot of equipment for our police officers. And we hope that we're going to raise $60,000 from this event. And there's tactical vests.
I was going to say, they'll buy a lot of vests. A lot of, you know, it's. Yes. And there are a lot of officers, particularly younger officers, when they're first starting out, that, you know, they, instead of buying. Let's talk about things like buying a vest. Yeah, there's off-the-shelf, and Jason, you know about this. There's off-the-shelf vests, and then there's actually getting properly fitted,
yes.
You know, for a carrier. And that's not cheap.
Right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of younger officers can't afford to do that when they're starting out. And so, you know.
Well, there's what they have issued me, which has the comfort and style of a piece of plywood strapped to the front and back of you. And then you go right. you'll go to trade shows, and you feel it's like, wow, this feels like a sweatshirt.
Right.
You know, and the stuff they gave me literally feels like plywood. Yes. So, yeah, sometimes out-of-pocket expenses do, you know, if you're going to wear it all day every day, it's nicer to buy a nicer, higher-end vest.
Yep.
Another item that we've purchased recently and that we're trying to outfit all of our patrol officers with is an emergency kit
mm-hmm.
That has the ability, if they run up upon someone or if an officer is shot and they're bleeding to death,
a trauma kit that they can
actually stop the bleeding until the ambulance gets there.
And that would be crucial. A lot of people don't realize, especially in these mass shootings, it's not just the gunshot wound. It's the fact that person laid there.
Yes.
And bled out.
That's
and
true.
So if the officer can, even if the officer himself doesn't necessarily have the skill set to use it, if there's somebody who's there that has that skill set and the tools are available to them,
mm-hmm.
then that could save a lot more lives.
One of the things that we're doing is when we buy the kits, they will go through tactical training.
Excellent.
Because we want them to be able to
treat themselves.
Well, if they're under fire, how do you tactically get to that victim or mm-hmm. that police officer that's been shot? How do you get over to him and treat him? So they're going to have training with the medical
Excellent.
Kits. Yes.
Good
yes.
deal.
So, Charlene, do you have friends or family that are HPD?
No, I do not.
I do.
You know, our chairman of the board is Tillman Fertitta, and I've been a friend of Tillman's for very many years. And he called one day and asked if I would be interested in being the executive director. And I said, well, maybe for a year, let me come over. And I've been there for 5 years and absolutely love working with the officers. You know, we are trying to get it out to the public of when you see an officer, the public usually sees an officer when the red light's behind them mm-hmm. because they're speeding or their home's been robbed. They don't realize how many officers we have in different divisions and their what they perform every day. And so that's one of the issues that the foundation is taking on is trying to get them out there in front of the public. Like at our gala, we have a gala October the 20th. It's our largest fundraiser. And we actually bring the guys out and they do demonstrations for all the people at the gala. So we have our dive teams usually in the pool. They're able to shoot a taser or they're able to shoot a rifle.
You know, we've got a young man over here
who really wants to take the ride.
Have you ever seen Mythbusters? They have the big dummy named Buster that they do all the bad things to. This gentleman right next to me is Buster, and he would love to be tased and has even brought it up on a couple of occasions that he would be willing to ride the ride.
Well, you need to come out to our gala because you have that opportunity.
Wait, so you actually let people get shocked?
There's a little, we don't actually shoot them with the police taser, mm-hmm. but we have another small taser that they can actually get a little taste of it.
Oh, just a little taste, Marty. Oh, you want the full ride.
Yes, sir.
He had a taste of OC spray last week, and it did not agree with him.
Oh. Now, Charlene, as executive director of the Houston Police Foundation and, I guess, right-hand woman to Tillman Fertitta, does that mean you get all the Landry's you can eat?
No, unfortunately, I am an employee of the foundation and not of Landry's. So I actually work out of the chief of police office. So I'm there with the police officers all day. So I'm there when they're asking for equipment and things like that, you know. So
now, if people register for the jailbreak, do they get anything like a bumper sticker or anything like that?
Absolutely. When they come out that day, they will they'll get a T-shirt. They will get a couple of beer tickets and a barbecue sandwich. And some I Support HPD stickers, yes.
All right, so all that is with the price of admission.
Yes.
And how much does it cost?
It's $60. And, of course, $10 of that will automatically go back to the police foundation. So you're helping us buy equipment for the police officers.
Okay, and this is Saturday, October 27th. So it's coming up soon. Now, does the registration get more expensive the longer you wait?
Yes. Come October 1st, it will go up to $70. So we would encourage everybody to sign up in September because we are hoping that by October 1st that we will be sold out.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this. You can count me in. Actually, I'm running a it's called the Capital to Coast Relay, October, I think, 5th and 6th. I'm running with a team from Austin to Corpus Christi. So hopefully by the 27th, I'll be able to be on my feet again after that.
Better you than me. Again, they give me a vehicle for these sorts of things.
You know, we will have a lot of people come out in costume because it is the weekend of Halloween, we think. So you will see a little bit of everything out there that day.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Jeff, we've been expecting you to come out for some time now.
Yes. Pink tutu and all.
It was too easy. I'm sorry.
Superman cape. The Superman cape.
That's your Wonder Woman underoos.
Uh-huh. Oh, so Charlene, tell us a little bit more about the jailbreak. What can people expect out of it? How long are they going to be there?
Well, it starts at 8:30.
Do they get to pick what time they run?
Yes. When you go online to register at www.runthejailbreak.com, you can select which wave that you want to go out in. Each wave will have about 400 people, and it's probably going to take an hour and 15 to an hour and 30 minutes for each wave. But our last wave will be 2:30, 3 o'clock, depending on how many people register.
I think I'm going to have to register for an early one because I'm not running in the heat. No.
Oh, October 27th, it ought to be cool down.
Are you really going to do it,
dude? Dude, it is Texas. Okay? I grew up here.
Are you going
to
do it?
I've seen it. I think I'm going to try to do it. I got to make sure that I won't have any other issues that weekend, but I may try to do that.
You know, it wouldn't bother me now because I know I wouldn't come in last.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
So we're both going to show up for the 9 a.m. run?
You stand there at the starting line and wait for me.
Now you've got the, wait, 9 a.m.? What? I don't roll out of bed before 9 a.m.
I might be working that day. I think I'm on call.
I can't wait to see this. You two running against each other. It's going to be like slow motion.
Run is a very strong word.
A giant turkey leg in your hand that you're tearing into as you're plowing through the mud.
Now, you know what? If you have a turkey leg waiting there at the end of that, that'd be okay.
Well, that's what these things usually have, you know, giant turkey legs and stuff. You said this is going to be barbecue?
Barbecue, yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Who's providing the barbecue? Is it going to be a Fertitta deal?
No. We think Texas Barbecue is doing it. I think we're trying to lock that down right now. But definitely the fire department will be there to get all the mud off of you. There's actually going to be between 16 and 20 obstacles that you will go through. So it's going to be a busy day.
Yeah, 16 to 20 obstacles. For those that have never done a mud run before, it's usually like 8 to 10 obstacles. And you said it'd be like an hour or so for each.
That's what I've heard. But, you know.
That means that this is it's going to be a lot of fun because I've done a couple of these that took, you know, 23 minutes and stuff for a 5K where you're going through mud and everything. There wasn't much to do, you know. But 16 to 20 obstacles and an hour and a half out there. It's definitely worth it.
How long did it take you to go through?
23 minutes.
Wow. For 3.1 miles?
Mm-hmm.
We have more obstacles than we do mud.
Our standards are definitely a little bit different. Because I'm thinking 10-minute miles, 11-minute miles.
In other words, I'm not going to be the last one.
I might be a little bit more gravitationally challenged.
Trust me, the fire department will be out there to take care of any medical issues that we have.
All right.
Okay, so bring your wheelbarrow.
Humiliation. I want to watch him try to haul Gary out of one of the mud pits.
No.
300 pounds of Gary.
I will be coming out. But it's 300 instead of 330. Thank you very much.
Yes, you have been slimming down.
And so, you know, my plan is to come out of that under my own power, leaving him in the dust. Okay.
I can't wait for this. Now, once again, Charlene, what is the what's the website if people want to check this out?
It is www.runthejailbreak.com.
And I think it would be a great idea if we did a Guns Over Texas Heat. So if anybody out there, if any of our listeners want to get involved in this, we should all run at the same time. And that way we can sacrifice people to the mounted patrol.
Run is a very strong word. Participate is a much better word.
Run is a very strong word.
We would love
for
to
the
have
professional
all of you.
Cop in the room.
Well, hey. He has a car.
I have
That's
a car.
Right.
As I lamented earlier, I had my first chase in quite a while this week, and you know, it's so much easier to catch them when there's 8 or 9 other cars in the chase, and even when they get out and bail on foot, there's a helicopter and a dog, and you know, I might be slow and old and fat, but he didn't get away.
It's That's hard to outrun all those radios.
It was very difficult for this individual.
You cannot outrun Motorola.
Well, yeah. You can beat me, but you can't beat we.
Yes.
So, Charlene, are you going to get out there and do this yourself?
Well, you know, I tell everybody, you know, I'm always having to work. Mm-hmm. But we may run the last leg, you know, the last wave.
All right. Ooh. We hope that you do it. We'd love to have you join us because we're going to join you. So we're definitely going to be out there
and do it. That'll be fantastic. We really look forward to you and all of your listeners coming out because it's going to be a fun day.
All right. Well, once again, that's runthejailbreak.com. Runthejailbreak.com. And Houston, if you have any questions, you can give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Guns Over Texas, Houston. Special thanks to Charlene Floyd. Once again, she's the executive director of the Houston Police Foundation, a great cause. We're going to be doing the jailbreak run Saturday, October 27th. And she forgot to mention, she wanted me to let everybody out there know that if you like their page, their Facebook page, that is the... Houston Police Foundation page, Gary, or is that the jailbreak page?
There is a Houston Police Foundation Facebook page, but I haven't made a link to it yet. What I have done is made a link to the Run the Jailbreak page.
All right. If you like the Facebook page of the Houston Police Foundation, they're going to send you a I Support HPD bumper sticker, and then you can become a member of the foundation, too, if you'd like. So go to I Support, or what is it? No, go to Houston Police Foundation, yes. Facebook page. Like it and show your support. Get the bumper sticker. Run the jailbreak. We're going to be out there, and we hope that you come out and run with us. Any volunteers, give us a call at 281-558-5738. You know, it's funny. We get a lot of volunteers when we go shoot stuff and blow stuff up, but lines are – I hear crickets chirping when we're asking about a 3.2-mile mud run.
Yeah, there's that whole 3.2 miles and mud.
Well, we can call it a plod or a stiff walk.
A 3.2-mile saunter.
Yes. Because I'm quite confident I could do the 1.5 to 2 miles of it. By mile three, I might be a little bit on the
you know what?
Well, less than fast pace.
I'm not saying that I'm going to – well, I don't know that I'm going to be on the all – you know, I'm certainly not going to be the 4-minute mile guy. That's not going to happen. But do I think that I can – plod through 3.2 miles? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can get through it. I just won't be breaking any speed records. They might need a calendar instead of a stopwatch to time me.
Matty, you going to be able to join us?
Yeah, I should be able to go.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
Says the 140-pound 21-year-old kid. Yeah.
Successful
the
guy who's going to
run across the top of the mud instead of getting in the mud. Golly. All right, well, I'm looking forward to that. You know, we just got into the range, gosh, I guess it was Thursday or Friday afternoon.
Oh, no.
The Chiappa Rhino.
You know, I fondled it, and I really, I don't know why I actually like the way that gun is laid out.
I did a review on it last year,
yeah.
And it was one of those things that I shot it, but it was in passing when we were busy and on a hour-long wait, and I'm cleaning out the range real quick, and one of our customers says, "Hey, check this out." And I just kind of picked it up and fired away.
You had a customer who offered it to me today, but I didn't have any 357 Magnum ammo.
Yeah.
And
this thing is so cool. It's ergonomically fit. Squared off cylinder to make it easier to carry.
Well, don't they come with a holster?
No.
I don't think you're ever going to find one.
No. They were offering the 2-inch models with a holster at one point.
Oh, no, they weren't. When we picked this up. So this is the 4-inch model. Fires out of the bottom cylinder.
Right.
So that makes for less felt recoil. It's supposed to be more pointable because of that. Now, Jason, you're looking disgusted. What is it? Is it not traditional enough for you?
He fondled it today, and he didn't really particularly care for it.
You're living, selling these things. Knock yourself out.
No, well, what do you think, man? What is it that you don't like?
Every time I pulled the trigger came all the way back to the back of the frame and managed to grab a big chunk of my trigger finger.
See, he's got these pudgy hands. And
we'll get into your catcher's meat hooks in a minute, your malfunction causing.
He's not going to let you forget that.
No, Mr. Malfunction over there.
He's got pudgy lady fingers, and big old Gary's teddy bear hands are nice and manicured.
Good God. Truckosaurus hands over there. Anyway, every time I pulled the trigger, I managed to pinch the hell out of my finger with it, and that's just me. But I also didn't like the fact that when you cock the hammer, you feel the cylinder rotate to go into single action mode, and then when you release the hammer, it automatically springs forward again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is not a visual indication that the hammer is cocked, except
the red flag.
That there is
a little red
doohickey pops up out of the top by the rear sight.
It's a very technical term.
Doohickey is the official term. Yeah. It looks like if you clicked a ballpoint pin and the end of the pin popped out, that's about how long it is, and it's a bright red little thing that pops out of the top, and that's how you're supposed to know that the gun is now cocked.
Yes.
Now, can you decock that?
Yes, you can.
I did not notice where the decocker was.
Well, there is no decocker. It's like every other revolver. So you pull the hammer back.
Again.
Yes, and then you pull the trigger, and then slowly ride the hammer down. Now, I don't like that feature. I don't use single action on revolvers that I use for serious purposes, simply because I don't
now,
want that.
The double action pull was not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's not a bad trigger pull on anything. Just managed to pinch the hell out of my finger with every single trigger pull.
Now, that's what I did on the XDS. So the XDS to me was extremely uncomfortable.
See, I didn't even have to pick up the XDS to say I don't like it. And it might be great. I haven't messed with an XDS yet.
Well, you know, I was the only one that seemed to have the problem. Mm-hmm. And I shot it very well. It was just uncomfortable as could be. It was painful to shoot.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, if we're going to get into big, awkward hands and their ability to destroy a gun's functionality, let's talk about Mr. Gary today. Because while we were at the day, you know, I showed up at the range to help out, you know, Mahdi. I felt bad spraying him with OC spray last week. So in my guilty state, you know, since Mr. Mahdi wants to join the U.S. Army, I decided that I was going to loan him my Beretta 92FS, which is basically the Army's M9, and say, here, if you're going to join up, tote this around for a month or so, shoot it, see what you think, get used to the platform. So we, you know, I broke it out of the safe, not having fired it in like 4 or 5 years, you know, blew the dust off of it, handed it over to Mahdi, and totally unlubed, uncleaned, and dry, we pulled it out of the safe and ran it for 50
probably about 100 rounds.
To 100 rounds, yeah, we both ran it just fine. And then Gary comes sauntering into the
range. Wait.
While sauntering, plotting.
No. Let's be thorough about this.
Lumbering?
Because it doesn't matter if you want to call it lumbering or not. These two professional shooters both said, hey, Gary, it's shooting off and to the right for us. And I'm like, really?
Did the sights need to be adjusted?
And the thing is I don't, and I said it up front, I don't shoot the Beretta particularly well. Okay? But... Mm-hmm. What did I do? I lined it up, aligned the sights, and pressed the trigger, and lo and behold, I shoot a nice little, you know, say, inch and a half, 2-inch group.
You put the thing on the thing and press the thing.
And I press the thing, and it goes bang, and it put the bullet in the thing.
And how many malfunctions did you induce with your Truckosaurus thumbs trying to wrap around the gun?
I did induce like 3 stoppages because my hand wraps up and over the top
of
the gun.
I bought that gun for myself for my 21st birthday. I'm 42 now. So 21 years that gun has run and has maybe had 2 or 3 stoppages in tens of thousands. That was the only gun I owned for 7 or so years. Okay, that gun has been run hard. And never had a problem until Gary gets a hold of it. And now all of a sudden it doesn't work. So we took it back from him and fired it another 100 or plus rounds flawlessly. Don't complain about my finger getting pinched in the gun because you got big old hands too.
But I didn't go, ow, it hurts.
No.
I can't shoot it.
You said the gun doesn't work.
I just said, huh, it locked, didn't lock, didn't go, you know, it didn't go back in the battery. No big deal.
Yeah.
Bash it in the battery and then go back to shooting.
What caused that?
My thumb wrapped my support hand thumb, my left hand thumb.
And as he holds his hand out, his thumb is longer than my middle finger. Okay.
So like my thumb wraps up and around the top of the slide, and it was touching the slide.
Yeah.
So it was impeding the motion of the slide.
Gary's thumb is like a bratwurst. You can only imagine what the rest of his hand looks like.
Now, in all fairness to Grimace...
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
It says the Cadbury Birdie.
Anyway, in all fairness to Grimace there, the Beretta slide is, for those who don't know, the Beretta slide is much wider than the frame. And on Glocks and on several other guns, the frame and the slide are relatively uniform in width. And the Beretta, just the way it is designed, the locking block, it doesn't use a traditional Browning tilt link locking block. It has a falling block, which is actually wider than the barrel. It's just a different style of locking mechanism unique to that gun. How many other gun manufacturers use that?
None.
Well, because it makes the gun.
Well, no, Taurus did it.
Well, okay, and Taurus stole it from Beretta, and we see how well that worked out for Taurus.
Exactly.
But in the end, it's not a bad system. It is a very reliable system. Say what you will about Beretta and the Taurus version of it. It runs, and the Army will even say it runs fine. It's
in
just
9mm.
It's thick. And it's big. And being that the slide is wider than the frame, Gary's Truckosaurus hands had issues with the gun. So,
now, you keep mentioning in 9mm. So what do you know about the Beretta
in 40?
The
whole thing is that the locking blocks, the lugs, have been known to shear off.
Yes. The Border Patrol was the original adopter of the 40 caliber Beretta.
Right.
And the Border Patrol had them for probably about 10 years. And their biggest complaint initially was slide breakage. So they actually introduced the Beretta Brigadier.
Mm-hmm.
If any of Beretta aficionados out there remember that, they actually made the slide thicker.
Right.
Because it wasn't the thickest, widest gun to begin with. So they made it thicker and beefier and heavier around the slide, which prevented all the crack slides and the crack locking blocks. But it made a pretty.
It made a big pistol.
It made a crew serve weapon out of that gun. But if, they ran.
I mean, if you can imagine turning a Glock into a high point.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of the dimensions of the slide, this, you know, great big blocky beluga headed looking gun. that's what the gun became. Yes.
That's something you just don't see a lot of.
No.
You hardly see them at all.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. I mean, I've had friends who, you know, you go to Sam Houston State and go to be a CJ major, and, of course, your friends end up all over the country. So I've had friends that have been in the Border Patrol, and I've had the opportunity to shoot the Beretta Brigadier 96D, and it's not a bad gun. It runs just fine. It's just when you look at it and you shoot it for a while and you go, wow, you've got to fit this under a shirt inside the waistband? You know, for off-duty and stuff? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, ooh, good God. Could they find something bigger and heavier, maybe a cinder block?
Now, Marty, what's your first impression with the Beretta? Now, you are an M&P guy.
Right, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's your impression going from the M&P to the Beretta?
I don't really like giving up those three extra rounds, you know, two extra rounds that I have with the mag capacity. For the size of the gun, you think it would carry a lot more. But I like the trigger. I wish I could change out the sights, you know, paint them black or something like that. Just have, you know, just a simpler.
But since it's my gun, that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So. Now, you know, in its defense, the Beretta 92 is a 15 shooter instead of a 17 shooter like you'd have in your M&P or
right.
Glock.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always been one of its detractions.
But we have to look at the technology at the time it was introduced.
It's a 1950s design that was introduced in the late 70s, early 80s.
And compared to seven rounds of 45.
It's know,
that's nice.
Yes.
Right. But I've actually been carrying it inside the waistband in a holster that Jason has let me use. And it's just as comfortable as my M&P. It rides very well, conceals easily for being such a large
pistol.
Says the
pistol. Skinny 21-year-old.
Says the skinny guy in the baggy shirt. I know.
This is a fitted shirt.
Whatever.
The fitted shirt.
And skinny jeans.
You and my daughter buy jeans at the same store, dude.
He's probably
How is she doing,
this.
By the way?
You know, I think he's wearing her jeans.
Oh.
I didn't know Marty shops.
This guy's got jokes. A bunch of comedians up in here.
Well, if you wear skinny jeans in front of us, you're going to pay the price.
This is the like, man wearing a purple shirt.
Kind of like Jason walking in here with a tote, as he called it,
yes.
And expecting us not to give him hell for it.
No. Yeah, no
I have
words.
No defense.
Now, also, you know, in the issue of being able to change out the sights, the Brigadier, because it had a beefier slide and the extra metal in it, mm-hmm. the sights actually could be drifted out.
They were dovetailed in, yes. And one of the big drawbacks of the original Beretta and some of the original SIG designs mm-hmm. was the front sight was actually milled into the
right.
slide. It was an integral part. It could not be changed. And if you wanted night sights, you had to take the gun apart and mail the slide
right.
to somebody. And they had to actually drill it out,
right.
yeah.
Yeah.
which is a big, but again, yeah. when it was designed and all those technical specs went into effect, there was no night sight. The technology
right.
wasn't there at the time of the design.
Correct.
So I can't fault them for that, but, you know, then again, times change, and apparently not for the Army. But I think the M9A1, I do believe that has dovetailed front sights now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It does have the rail
That's good
attachment.
To know.
I do believe they've gone with the RD, the reduced backstrap version.
So it sounds like they've made basically the 90 TWO into the 92A1.
The 90 TWO, which is their slang for the 92, is a steaming pile of. Let me
well,
ask
it
you,
sounds
this.
Like
how
they...
many of those have you seen in holsters anywhere?
Oh, ask me how many 92 that I still see in holsters anywhere.
Well, and again, in its day, in the late 80s, early 90s, in its heyday, that was the gun to be seen with. And
yes.
that's why, you know, why did I buy that as my first gun? Because I saw Die Hard.
And you didn't know any better.
And
yes.
I didn't know any better. No, it ran fine for the time, but,
sure.
you know, it didn't know now and I didn't know then.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got into law enforcement and went through my first academy, it was a 1911 going with me. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we all change our tune as time goes on.
Yes.
Now, I neglected to mention that Shiloh Shooting Range is running a special right now. If you, for 9/11, in remembrance of 9/11, if you need to get your concealed handgun license, which, as long as you're a law-abiding citizen, yes, you need to get your concealed handgun license. And for two for $150, so husband, wife.
Twofer.
Two for $150. Not only that, you get a free range pass for two people. With the purchase of your concealed handgun licenses. So that's another $26 value in that. So if you don't have your concealed handgun license yet, now is the time to get it. This is the deal to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So give Shiloh a call at 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930. And sign up for your concealed handgun license with the 2012 Concealed Handgun License Headquarters for Houston. Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas. Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. We've only got about 15 minutes left, so if you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 281-558-5738, and we'll get you taken care of. Now, Jason, you were at the shooting range today at Shiloh Shooting Range.
Yes, sir.
Did you happen to put your hands on the SIG 516?
I saw it, but I did not fondle it.
No, I did not.
I should have passed it to you when I saw you there yesterday.
But I have shot the 516 before.
Ah, that's right.
Mess with yours. I shot
forgot
one
about
full
that.
Auto.
Yeah, yes. You shot one with the fun switch.
Yes.
Now, were you impressed with the weight of the gun? Because that was the first thing that popped into my mind was that, you know, all the piston guns that I've had and that I've shot
usually
are
they're
heavy.
Front heavy.
Yeah.
Front heavy pigs. But I can't say, I want to say it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be, but the one I shot was a 7-inch barrel.
Yeah.
Which it definitely wasn't nearly as heavy as it should have been up there. And I really enjoyed the heck out of it. And, you know, normally I'm Colt all the time. And, you know, SIG, anybody else, blah. But this one ran great. It ran great in full auto. It was controllable. It was wonderful. And even as a piston, I had absolutely no issues with it whatsoever. But I have not handled the full-size version of you to give the opinion on it. But the short one ran like a sewing machine. No issues.
Cool. I have been real impressed with this thing.
And there was a line of us with mags waiting to dump full auto. I mean, trust me, it was put through its paces that day by a line of like 20 guys with mags waiting to dump out of that thing.
I was real impressed with the weight of it, and it just feels really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's fully equipped, quad rail, flip up front and rear sights.
It's out of the box with all the
magwell
stuff that you would want done on it.
Yeah.
I have yet to be converted on the whole turn an AR-15 into an AK-47 bandwagon. I think that the direct impingement system works just fine as long as you keep it wet. You know, I'm not going to go jumping out of burning helicopters anytime soon. As long as the blades are spinning, I'm going to ride that thing into the ground. and I'm not crawling through any mud pits other than doing it just for fun. So because I'm not in the sandbox or any of that other kind of stuff, the standard system works just fine, and I can find parts for that, and the parts are common. When it comes to the piston guns, not so much, and they're proprietary. You know, nobody's sharing parts between each other. So that, you know, my view is that if you're going to buy one, that's fine, but if you're buying it for serious purposes, you may need to buy two. Just in case, so you got a spare.
You know, it just so happens I've got two of them at the shop.
Well, there you go. And the price is?
And they're both wanting to go home with someone.
The price is right, man. For piston guns, like if you're going to buy an LWRC or some of these other guns, you're looking at, you know, $2,300
right.
Pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And these are running just over $15, so $15.99.
Not a bad price.
Gary, just real quick, I'm right there with you as far as, you know, direct impingement versus gas piston. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about the 516 compared to some other of the piston guns is that it does have an adjustable gas block. And so if you're shooting a lot of suppressed, if you're shooting short-barreled rifles, then that's where the gas piston really comes into play, like full-auto weapons, like what just Jason used. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to butcher your name. it's not
well,
like you deserve any better, but whatever.
I get that because I come from the foul.
But how many people actually are going to need that outside of agencies
exactly.
and military?
There's the whole question of how many people even need it. Then there's the whole issue. And my big hang-up is how many of these guns run. And if the gun ran, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I've seen an awful lot of piston guns, including high-dollar LWRCs and a bunch of other stuff, when those pistons break. And thing is you look at the piston, at the gas piston system in these guns and compare it to anything that was designed from the ground up as a piston gun as opposed to a retrofit of Stoner's system, you look at the original, at the piston that's in the 550, the SIG 550.
That's
look at that
piston.
Compared to what's in the 516. it's not even a comparison. It is a huge honking piston by comparison. And I honestly think that if you're going to run these guns for serious purposes and run them hard, that there's value in having all that extra material there and be in terms of the longevity of the system and all that kind of good stuff. So, and that's just me. Not everybody has to look at it that way. That's just my view of it. That's how I'm going to handle my guns. So I haven't gotten into it. I'm going to build a 300 Blackout, and guess what? It's going to be direct impingement.
All right. What's making you go with the 300 Blackout?
It's a round that I'm experimenting with. It's, you know, I have my standard 5.56 guns, and my 308s are M14s and FNFALs. The 300 Blackout intrigues me because it fits in the AR-15 package.
Same bolt, same magazine.
That's kind of cool, but to be able to do that and launch a 30 caliber bullet sounds kind of neat. So it's mostly experimenting. I'll have it. I'm actually at the stage now that I could put an optic on it, or just some set of sights and run it for a pig hunt or something like that. But one of the things I will probably be doing is researching suppressors for that setup.
Yeah,
but I've got some other stuff that's kind of a higher priority right now.
Gotcha.
All right, let's head out to Southeast Houston and talk to Benny. Benny, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Benny?
Hey, guys. I have a Benelli M4, and I totally forgot to ask you last week. Mm-hmm. Everybody says on the Internet that it's illegal to put the collapsible stock on it. You know, it's something called a 922R or something.
922C is what he's talking about.
It's a Benelli M4.
What kind of stock, though?
A collapsible stock.
It's a Benelli.
Oh, so it's factory...
a factory stock, and now they came out with a stainless steel looking one that has it, and it has even the full capacity mag on it, you know. So
the whole deal is the number of parts. He's talking about section 922, mm-hmm. and basically it has to do with the number of parts that are on it that are U.S. made parts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so if it's got enough U.S. made parts in it, then you can put the collapsible stock on it. If it does not have that requisite number of parts, then it is illegal to put install the collapsing stock.
So it's illegal then?
It you know, without looking at
your gun.
I don't know
what kind of parts you got in the gun.
Yeah.
I just bought it, you know, off the shelf, you know.
Off the shelf, okay. Then there's probably no U.S.-made parts in
there. Right.
That doesn't mean you can't go online and buy,
and
what
replace,
is it, five?
Yeah.
You know, five U.S.-made parts in there, find a, you know.
Well, I know Mesa Tactical makes, like, the Benelli M4 stock. That's what a lot of guys are using.
Right.
And they're made, you know, here in the U.S.
Yeah, so the stock, and then you replace the tube, the magazine
tube. The fore-end.
Yeah.
The sights. And
exactly.
And pretty quick, you'll have four or five U.S.-made parts on there. You need five, and then you can put your collapsible stock on there.
Would an oversized safety count also?
It's a part.
It is a part.
Okay.
U.S.-made parts. It doesn't say what parts. It just
right.
says a certain percentage of the parts, five of them. So
I have to change the parts on that thing?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you want to be legal, that would be the way to go.
Now, the one that they sell that's already came with the stock, what's up with that one then?
Chances are they've already changed all the parts out that needed to be changed out to make it U.S.
compliant.
922 compliant.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you.
All Just right, before. Benny, thanks for giving us a call. Right. We appreciate you participating in Guns Over Texas. And now let's head out to Spring and talk to Ken. Ken, what do you say, Ken?
Nada, man. Nada. Just want to know, y'all have any idea when the next class Mr. Farnham is going to be doing?
Well, the next one we know of for sure in Texas is October 13 and 14.
Yeah, I was all ready to send my check to Doc so he could hang on to it until John came to town. But, do not ever co-sign for student loans on anybody because they will default and you in bad shape. So, I have some unintended diversion of funds.
All right.
I hate her a lot.
Oh, man, we're sorry to hear about that.
Indeed. Yeah.
Now, as far as the next class, you can actually go to, was it Training International?
It's defense-training.com.
So Andy's actually got a schedule up there.
Yeah. His schedule runs through May 13th, and I don't see another class in Victoria, in Texas.
Until next year.
Yeah, that was, I checked website in the past, and actually he was very quick to respond. But I just figured it's easier to call y'all up and ask if y'all might be in the know.
Yeah, he usually has one in March as well, and it's usually March and October. So I don't see March on his schedule.
Yeah, but his 2013 schedule may not be ironed out yet.
Right,
yeah,
right.
He's got a couple of dates, a February and a May, but that March should be in there. At least we hope it is, because, this is, you know, like I've said before about John, he's like he's from the school of Jeff Cooper. You know, he's really the last of a dying breed. And if you get the opportunity to work with a guy like him, it's just listening to him talk is worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth coming out. And I made a mistake. I was supposed to have John was supposed to join us today and talk about the class
and
everything.
Call him.
I sent him an email.
He doesn't know how to work the phone.
Exactly.
So we'll have John on next week, and we'll talk more about it, and I'll bend his ear about when his next class is going to be. But
perfect.
Ken, if there's any way you can get into that class, man, definitely give it a shot.
Man, I was trying. I was going to make it a father-son deal, pay for my dad as well. But he lives there, so I wouldn't have to worry about any hotel or any crap like that. But he lives not far from the range.
Well, that's nice. That's always one of the headaches whenever you're going to a training class is, the hotel fees and travel and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, toting my stuff and worrying about some knothead, getting in the vehicle or getting into the room or whatever.
But,
Gary,
room,
with the blackout, if you ever figure out what route you're going to take with all your stuff, I do have some sub-expanding bullets, and they're awesome. They do work rather well.
Okay.
Awesome. So there.
All
I'll
right.
Shoot you an email on that.
Thank you.
Not at all.
All right, Ken, we appreciate you giving us a call, man. And it's always good to hear from you.
Hey, just on a side note there, the caller who called in the first half that was talking about his SKS with a spike bayonet, I did a little look in here while y'all were talking, and at gunauction.com, I'm seeing the current buy it now price at $295 for one that's considered in excellent condition.
That's Would that bad. Be a Russian SKS?
No, this is a Chinese Norinco SKS with spike bayonet and standard 10-round magazine attached to it, and that is going for $295 in excellent condition. Again, I don't know if he has a Russian. I don't know if he has a Romanian, a
makes
Chinese,
me hate
what.
That I didn't buy them when they were $50 a pop.
You know, here in about 10 years, everybody's going to be like, this dude's going to be telling stories. Yeah, I bought it for $400. And everybody's going to gasp, wow, it was that cheap.
No, it's an SKS. It's
no,
like
it's an SKS.
All right, let's head out to Conroe and talk to Ben. Ben, welcome to Guns Over Texas. What do you say, Ben?
Hello there. How are y'all today?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
I got a question on the opinion on between a SIG P220 and a Glock 30.
Okay, you're asking which one's better?
Yeah,
Okay. Well, we're about to hit the end of the show. Grade
them or whatever. However, whatever.
All right.
What's the purpose of the gun?
Well, just
is it a plinker or is it a carry
I'm not
gun?
No, it's not going to be a carry gun.
Okay, if it's not a carry gun, then I would say it's a 20.
I've been a kind of a collector for many years, and
Your 220 is going to hold a value more,
right?
And it's going to be nicer just to sit back.
Which one is
the 220? The SIG 220.
Will hold the value better?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And if you can get that in the single action only 220, they're pretty hard to find. But if you can get it, that is one of the sweetest shooting guns I've ever owned. And
really?
I really, really enjoy shooting my 220.
Okay.
But you got to go for the SAO, in my opinion. Now, the Glock 30 makes a good carry gun, higher mag capacity than the 220. Your 220, you're going to get your 8 rounds, or 8 plus 1. What is the
8?
The 30? I thought the 30 was 10.
With an extended magazine, I think you can do 10, but it's or of course you can stick a 21 magazine in it,
and it's
a 14 shooter.
Yeah.
If I were going to be fighting with, I'd take the Glock hands down. But we already know I love Glocks more. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with the SIG.
I was
going to
say
the
220. The 220 is as far as an out of the box 45.
It's an accurate running gun.
It runs and it's accurate, so it works just fine.
So there you have it. The good guys say the P220. Jason says the Glock. That's another 2 hours of Guns Over Texas down Houston. As usual, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you giving us calls and keeping the show flowing. So get your concealed handgun license, 2 for $150, plus a free range pass for 2 from Shiloh Shooting Range to get your CHL this week. That's it, Houston. Shoot straight.